time once again for Political Pulse, where Steve Missler and Mal Leary share their insights on what's driving Maine politics. This week, Governor Paula Page picks an unusual time to schedule shoulder surgery, some Senate seating chart drama, and the most experienced candidates for attorney general are rejected behind closed doors. Deputy News Director Susan Sharon leads the conversation this week.
We're coming off a week with a lot of celebration of the life of George H.W. Bush. Among the dignitaries we know who came down to D.C. this week was Governor Paul LePage to pay his respects on Monday. But for some reason, the governor did not come back to pay his respects to the lawmakers of Maine who are being sworn in. I'm wondering what you think of that, Mal Leary.
Well, his office says he had to come back for long scheduled back surgery and that he had told legislative leaders earlier that he would not be there to swear in the new legislature, that it would fall to the duties of the Chief Justice to do. Of course, you would have to wonder why he would schedule back surgery on a day that is set in the Constitution, so much so that while most of state government had the day off, the legislature was in being sworn in because they had to.
As I understand it, this has not occurred since something like 1880 when a governor wasn't present for such an occasion.
Well, that's a story all unto itself, Susan. That was when we had a revolt underway. The Capitol was under siege with over 2,000 people, and Joshua Chamberlain went to Bangor and brought down Gatling guns to protect the Capitol. That was a very strange time in our history.
Not to get too far afield, but that's also the time when we had the plurality provision inserted into the Constitution, which is a ranked choice voting issue now.
All right. Well, we'll come back to that in a minute. But one could argue that, there's this feeling that there's not good feelings across the aisle. And to that point, this week, Senate President Troy Jackson took the unusual step of trying to bridge what could be seen as a partisan divide by rearranging the seating chart in the Senate, which I gather means a Republican and a Democrat now sitting together where they didn't used to sit that way. Is that correct?
Yeah, there was actually like a line between one side of the aisle and the other, you know, an actual literal line. Now, Troy Jackson is trying to integrate the membership of the Senate. I don't know if it works or not. I mean, it seems to me that if you have a personal relationship with somebody that's sitting next to you or you can develop one, maybe that will ease partisan tensions. I think this has been tried in Congress, too, if I recall correctly. And obviously, it hasn't worked there.
And there's a lot of skepticism among Republicans that it's going to work here. Leaders on both the House and Senate on the Republican side are saying, we're not going to be like the past. We're not going to have personal attacks on people. We're going to fight on issues. But, you know, this whole idea that somehow we're going to have kumbaya moments because we're sitting side by side is not going anywhere. Republicans made it clear, for example, the Democrats have this long list of major issues they want to address: health care, education, infrastructure, big price tags there. And they're going, that's great. Within existing resources, we're not going to support any new taxes. We're not going to support any tax increase. So the Republicans are making it clear, yeah, we'll talk and we'll work together and we'll try to compromise, but we're going to draw a line there on principles that we believe in.
Also this week, there was the election of the constitutional officers, which I know you've spent a lot of time covering. But when all was said and done, it was kind of unusual because there were five qualified candidates for the attorney general's office. And yet, it seems that some of the most experienced people were eliminated in the early rounds. What do you make of that?
It struck me that that took a lot of people by surprise. I mean, I think a lot of folks, including me, assume that Megan Maloney, who's a DA here in Kennebec County, I thought maybe she would have the inside track on this, on the nomination within the Democratic caucus. Turns out she was among the first to be eliminated. And same with some of the other people that had a little more experience. Instead, it fell to a runoff between Tim Shannon and Aaron Fry. I mean, I was getting texts on my phone and people were really surprised that Tim Shannon made it all the way to the final ballot. And of course, this also brings up the idea that this entire process is very opaque. We don't know which lawmakers picked these people. We don't know how the balloting went even yesterday in the actual election. We don't know. And there's maybe a case to be made that we ought to, so that we can ask them questions about it.
We didn't know if someone was running until they said they were running. There is no process here for three top positions in state government where they like have to register with the Secretary of State to say, I'm running and I'm spending whatever they're spending, because obviously you don't crisscross the state without running up some sort of campaign costs. And that has been taken into account by some of the candidates who didn't win. Mike Carpenter, for example,
former attorney general,
probably the most experienced of the five, said he would put a bill in that would require that they have to register with the Secretary of State, report their finances, so the public would at least know who's running. And he was hoping that maybe there would be some sort of public forum for the candidates that want to be attorney general to debate, so that the public would have some input and not just the 186 lawmakers who actually elect them. Whether that's going to go anywhere now, who knows?
But the bottom line is the why and who voted for Aaron Fry of Bangor, who I believe does not have any prosecutorial experience. He's a defense attorney. He's qualified for the job, but we don't know what was going on behind the scenes.
Well, this is politics. He's in the legislature, in the House. That's how I think he got it. He had far more friends who said, yes, I'm going to vote for Aaron.
All right. And so now let's talk about what the big issues are likely to be. We've already seen this week the reformulation of a couple of key legislative committees to get to those big issues. Steve Missler, what's happening and how unusual is that?
If you recall back in 2010, it used to be just the Labor Committee. And then when Republicans came in on a wave election and had full control of state government, they immediately added this business and research and economic development element or oversight to that committee. At the time, like, caused quite a bit of a stir. The Democrats and labor unions were going nuts because they thought that they were suddenly going to lose their voice, or the committee that hears their voice. So what they've done is separate that back out, and now you have a labor committee. And it may just be a branding issue, but it may also be very substantive, which is that they took health care and they put that with the Insurance and Financial
Services
Committee. Thank you. Now, you would think that healthcare and insurance are somewhat synonymous, and so maybe this is rebranding. But what it tells me is that Democrats, you could argue that they won these majorities on the issue of healthcare. They want that to be a priority, so they're going to put that, even if it's rebranding, they're going to put it in a committee and make that a central issue for them in this legislature, which I think is a smart thing to do.
And just to be clear, what they are doing on the Labor Committee is turning it into some kind of economic innovation committee. They're going to look at ways to address Maine's economic shortcomings somehow.
This is all rebranding. It is the Democratic response, as Steve put, to 2010. Democrats have been smarting since 2010 when the Labor Committee was abolished. And I think that's really the issue here, a better name from their point of view. But the issues are still going to be there. Expansion of Medicaid is just one health issue that needs to be addressed in this session. And so, you know, that's a broad area. And I think that's one reason they wanted to focus it in on that committee, because there were too many insurance issues ending up in the Health and Human Services Committee.
All right. You're mentioning the economy and health care. No surprise there for Democrats. We know Medicaid expansion, it's going to take a big part of the budget. What else do you see coming forward?
Well, I think energy, right? Energy is going to be huge. I mean, renewable energy advocates have been basically sidelined for the last 8 years. And I think that
By vetoes,
exactly. There is a opportunity for them now to address solar policy, potentially wind policy, and either undo the damage that was done from their perspective that the LePage administration did, or just be able to move Maine forward on these initiatives.
And I think broadband is going to be a major issue. There's several ideas I've been heard being floated around for a major bond issue, taking surplus money that's out of some of the various business regulatory accounts. It's extra money. It's surplus that's been sitting there in some cases for 5 and 6 years. And sweeping all that money and have like $20, $25 million to invest in broadband infrastructure, and then a bond issue to keep it going. So, I mean, there's those sorts of ideas that are floating. And, you know, they all cost money.
All right. So the last thing to just mention is, where does Governor-elect Janet Mills stand on creating her cabinet-level positions, and who's up for those?
She's still interviewing. My understanding is that she hasn't chosen anybody. She's talked with a lot of folks. She's done interviews with a lot of folks. And she's got a screening committee that's looking at a lot of folks.
Setting aside the personalities and people that she might bring in, these positions can be political positions, meaning that these are people that have earned favors by virtue of somebody who is elected governor, right? For her, that's really the central tension or the decision she has to make, balancing the need to repay a few favors, perhaps, and also getting somebody who's actually competent to fill these positions. They're very important. And you can see that in the last administration, where Governor LePage actually had trouble filling positions here, if you recall, around this time of year, he was complaining that we don't pay them enough, okay? The other issue is just whether or not they're actually good at their jobs.
And that was Maine's Political Pulse with Steve Missler, Mal Leary, and Susan Sharon.